Tonight, they're back in studio as the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble has an event to preview with Patty. Then later, we'll catch up with Sam Panionovich after he attended Cubs opening day. But first, we'll talk to the creator of Mike and Molly, Mark Roberts, joins us in studio. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? I'm Patty. Craig, we have a lot of clarinet players in the green room right now. And that's not even all of them.
No, there's four more in the lobby, I was just told.
Oh, were you just told that?
Yeah.
And there's going to be 20 altogether, 20 clarinet players going to be in the Allstate Showcase studio. Before that, we are going to talk to Mark Roberts, who is the creator of Mike and Molly and also has a play running in Chicago called New Country. He's brought Coulter O'Ryan Smith with him, one of the fellow actors, and his producer, Kelsey. So we're going to talk to them about that production and, you know, theater scene in Chicago and television and all those things. Esmeralda, by the way. How was your weekend?
It was wonderful.
Miss Birthday Girl?
Yes, thank you.
Is it still your birthday?
No.
Oh,
you
know.
I mean, it's my birthday month, I guess.
Right, but you're not one of those people that milks it for every single moment you possibly can.
No, it was one day, and that's that.
You looked so spectacular on Friday.
Oh, thanks.
So cute. You looked like you had a good time.
I did. Had a lot of fun.
Did you go karaokeing?
I did.
Where did you go karaoke?
We went to Alice's.
Mm-hmm.
It's around Belmont and Kimball.
Okay.
It's 4 a.m. A lot of fun. They actually do karaoke, I think, I want to say maybe five or six days a week there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think I've been there before, but it's always, there's a dance floor with a big screen. Do they do karaoke in that back part?
No. There?
No? Okay. Maybe I'm in the wrong bar.
It's a little west of Kimball.
Okay.
On Belmont.
Well, now I got to go find
it. It's a very divey bar. The guy who runs it, though, is really fun. The karaoke, the guy who runs it, he always has blow-up guitars and things.
So you can...
And, like, he'll bust them out and, like, play with you and, like, help you out if you're not doing so well.
So cool. I love that. It was a very strange weekend. Did you see Hannah Stanley's post that I sent her home?
Yes.
And 10 minutes...
probably saved her life.
Well, that's what she's saying. And sadly, there was a chef who died in that accident.
Wow.
He'd gotten out of his car. To see the damage to his car. I told someone this yesterday, never get out of your car until you see the flashing lights. This has been something that, and I know, but your brain doesn't know that, like, your instincts are, oh my God, what happened to my car? How bad is it? I got to take a look. You have to stay in the car until you see flashing lights, especially if you're on a highway, an expressway like that. And there's a lot of other cars, you know, in traffic. Plus, the conditions were so bad. It was so icy out. So very, very sad story on Friday night. A lot of cars. I think it was 14 car pileup. And I told Hannah to get out. And, you know, I hope I didn't sound mean about it. It wasn't like I had a premonition or anything. I just felt like, you know, she'd been here for 14 hours or something.
Yeah, she'd been here pretty much all day. She was tired.
Yeah.
So you sent her home without her having to drive home tired.
Well, so I think she was still tired.
Right.
But yeah, that was very... That snow was ridiculous.
It really was.
Stupid. Stupid.
It's snow. April.
I know.
Right.
But it's Chicago. and because climate change.
Do you think we're going to get any more?
Yes.
Okay. Good talk we've had.
I do think we're going to have more.
I don't want any more.
I know. Well, and every time I see it, every time it starts snowing, I'm like, I just say, no, just I'm not. I want to go back to bed until it stops. It's not okay. But I live here, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy. It's opening day today at Wrigley Field. We didn't have snow.
Yeah.
They had snow at the Sox Park, whatever they call it, the Cell.
The Cell.
The Cell.
Whatever that is.
Yes. No, I'm kidding. All my Sox fans. Did they lose? I think they lost on Friday.
I think the Sox lost their home opener.
How about
Cubs
just
won.
What? Sorry,
yeah, I know
that was too
come loud. From behind win too.
It was 3-0 for
right after our guest coming up. Sam Panionovich texted me that he thought there was going to be a no hit game. The
oh,
Cubs
really?
Would go no hit.
Mm-hmm.
They stormed back into it.
Nice. So we are now what, like 5-1?
That's 6-1.
6-1.
6-1.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because the Cubs are announcing their
presence
with
authority.
Yeah,
they are 6-1. They beat the Reds, who are now 5-2.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have no idea where the Cubs are broadcast. I can't find it on my radio dial.
I can't find it either.
I have no idea.
I don't think they still do radio broadcasts.
I don't think they do either.
I don't think they do those.
Well, I know what we're doing here. We're talking to Mark Roberts, Kelsey, and Ryan when we come back after this on 720 WGN. Coulter O'Ryan Smith. is in studio with us. He's one of the actors from New Country and the creator and writer of this play, New Country, is with us as well, Mark Roberts. I've gone to the theater twice in the last month because I've decided that rather than talking to performers before I see their show, it'd be nice to talk about the performance itself.
Sure.
So it was a really tremendous show. It's exciting because it's so immediate to the people who are watching it. We're right on top of you, basically, is the structure at the Den Theater. Tell us a little bit about how you created these characters in New Country.
Well, I started writing a play. I wanted to write a play about how men are the cause of all evil in the world.
Okay.
But I wanted it to be funny. So I set it in the world of country music and gave them all Southern accents, and mm-hmm. it immediately became funny.
It is, and the play opens with, I'm guessing, the manager and the agent. I don't know if I actually was clear for me, because I probably missed it for a moment.
There really is no difference between a manager and an agent.
I know, but those are his manager, basically his people.
His people.
Yes. Yeah. The main character, not the main character, but the star who is getting married over this weekend.
Yes, and the young country star, the new country star.
Yes,
you know, it's the night before his big orchestrated wedding, and mm-hmm. it's in his hotel suite that he has gotten for his uncle.
And such a perfect location, by the way, to have a hotel, because it's so well done. The set is beautiful. I took pictures and I posted it on Facebook before it even started. And I mean, you've spent a lot of time in hotel rooms. And it's just one of those things where you're like, yeah, okay, that's where the bathroom is. This is the suite, and there's the bedroom. It's just so it's immediate to the audience. They know where the bellboy is going to come from.
Oh yeah,
and that's you, Coulter, by the way.
Absolutely.
Such a what is it? Come closer to the microphone, if you
absolutely.
Don't mind.
Absolutely, there we go.
Your entrance is wonderful because we start with the agent and manager or the Justin's people, and you come in with a gift basket. By the way, I think everybody got thirsty when they saw that bottle of Knob Creek.
Well, who doesn't get thirsty when they say bottle of Knob Creek?
Yeah, I know that is it an unopened bottle? Have you guys ever opened that bottle?
It's just got tea in it. Yeah. I drink from it.
Oh, that's right, you do. That's right, it gets popped open.
Yeah.
And you even have all the stand where the glasses go in the refrigerator. It's the covering on the chairs, it has like that cow pattern.
Right.
Which is beautiful. I mean, every detail is just luscious in there, including the curtains and the whole thing. I keep wanting to call you Ryan. I don't know why. Does that happen?
You know, you could blame it on my mother mm-hmm. for giving me that crazy middle name. But yeah, it happens a lot.
People, I apologize.
It's like, okay.
I'm going to put my hand right over it so I can't see it.
It's okay.
Coulter, where are you from originally?
I'm from Texas. I grew up just south of Fort Worth, about 45 minutes, in a little bitty town, more cows than people.
Nice.
That would be most familiar to most people to describe it that way. But it's called Alvarado.
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 And what brought you to Chicago from Alvarado?
Well, I got a degree in acting and directing, and I did a show in Dallas, and then I got really tired how hot it was down there, and I decided I want to see some more of the world and see what art in Chicago had to offer.
And what it's like when it snows in April?
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, my goodness. I've been so depressed this week, up and down and all around, but Chicago can't figure out what it wants to do or what it really wants to be.
It does. Yeah, Mother Nature is bipolar.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, so I came up here. I wanted to have an opportunity to do more theater.
Mm-hmm.
When I got here, I got sour, didn't do anything for 3 years, and this is actually the first show I've done in Chicago. So
really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad that I caught you in this show, and I'm sure there's going to be many more.
I hope so.
And it is really a great cast. A lot of Chicagoans will recognize Will Klinger, who hosted Wild Chicago for many years, and now I think hosts another show that's nationally on different networks. I was talking to him about doing Wild Vacations, I think, is what he's got going on as well.
Yeah, and I think he's still back in gay porn. I think.
And this will be podcast for him. We'll go to iTunes and you can subscribe to the show. And Mark Roberts, I love in the stage bill, it talks in your bio about how in your first life, your second life, and your third life. Do you think of your life that way? First stand-up comedy, then being a playwright, and then writing for television? Oh, no, as an actor. So stand-up comedy, acting, writing. Do you kind of, does it feel like it's in chunks?
When I sat down to write, I haven't written a bio in a while, and when I sat down to write it and was thinking about, well, I'm acting in this and I wrote it and I should try to cover everything, I look at my life and I think, I just either can't hold a job or I get bored.
Right.
I mean, I think what happened with stand-up was I got to a point where that style of writing became very limiting to me, And also the lifestyle of the comic and hanging out with other comedians all the time. I remember just starting to think as a person, I was like, you know, I don't think I find everything funny.
Right.
And you really have to have that mindset of what's the bit. And so every topic that came up, you'd be sitting at a table with comics and the most heinous subject could come up and immediately people would pounce on it to find the funny. And I understand it, that that's the requirement of the job, but I think I just got to a point as a person where I was like, I think I want to investigate a little bit deeper in my own writing.
Well, and that's the thing is that somehow, did you find when you made that transition or started working in other, you know, directions that there's a stigma with being a comic, you know, that we're always going to go for the laugh, that, you know, because like for this, people were like, just stick with comedy. I like having a conversation. I feel the same way. I'm not constantly thinking of the funny. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, which is why I like talking to people.
You know? Absolutely. I mean, what was your question?
There's a stigma with going into any other sort of, you know, performance. If you're a stand-up comic, was there kind of an attitude toward that?
A whole career seems to be just sort of a meeting of conflicting attitudes towards everything. I get judged in the theater by having done work in television.
Sure.
I get work, you know, I get judged. People have preconceived ideas about what I'm going to be doing or bringing to the table. And it's nice, though, to, like when Bill Leff and Leo Benvenuti came, who are dear friends of mine, and when they came to see the play, it's nice that people that know your whole body of work that can just see that you just want to do different things, you know.
Well, and this is definitely a departure from what I think people see or think of you when it comes to writing for television. Bill Leff had a whole conversation for about a half an hour, not just about this play, but it was an adorable conversation. He was saying how easily people buy into a performance, whether it's television, suspension of disbelief. You know, I know this isn't actually happening. But, you know, the way it's being portrayed, I'm in. It draws me in.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, and I think because he also knows you, he was also having to separate that out as well.
Right.
But there are some very intense moments, and I think the audience is all in because you can hear people gasping at different moments throughout the performance, you know, whether it has to do with someone, you know, having a very quiet, possibly desperate moment, and, you know, you've got a gun in your hand.
Right.
And I think the whole, I mean, like there's the, you must feel that when the whole audience is like, please, you know, and we don't know what the next thing is, but they're kind of like, he could.
Right.
You know, and it feels dangerous.
Right.
And I think that there was something really beautiful about that.
Well, the play is so quick and so much happens in a short amount of time. You know, I think it's like 75 minutes now. And it was originally conceived as a two-act play. And the moment that you're talking about, I actually put an act break in the original.
Interesting.
And then as we started rehearsing it, I was like, I think I want to take that act break out and just let this whole thing happen quickly so that when the lights do finally fade at the end, I think I've had people come up to me and just go, I can't even digest this, you know, and there's something kind of wonderful about just dumping this in an audience member's lap and going, okay, you deal with it now.
Right. Is there ever any pressure from I wondered about that because I was wondering, as a 75-minute performance, did they ask you if you would put in an intermission or was the Den Theater cool about that?
I think they were fine.
Yeah, because it's perfect. You're right. Because it allows that transition. I mean, because then otherwise you're just moving on. The lights come back up. And you just be doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's well done. Coulter, when your character comes in as the bellboy and the fan of this mega new country star.
Big fan.
The energy changes. And it's interesting because you can kind of see these cynical in the industry guys, you know, who've been on the phone. They're trying to make. Well, one of them is upset because he doesn't like the woman he's been paired with at the wedding. And so like, you come in and you're like rapid fire and just so excited. Have you ever been in a situation where you've watched a mega fan sort of going after somebody like that?
Yes, I have. Actually, I've been sitting next to a friend of mine. Oh my goodness, for the life of me, I can't even remember who we were listening to in college.
Right.
And she stood up to ask a question. They picked her, and she just went, I really like your work. And she'll know exactly who I'm talking about if she's listening to this. But so, yeah, I've been around that. I've seen that. Shoot, I have my own mega fan status, you know, for different celebrities, actors, sports stars, you know, I have my whole life. So not quite to the point that Ollie does.
Right.
I get to heighten that a little bit, but it's fun.
Well, that's what's so dynamic about that is that here's someone who seems really eager and doesn't seem to get that he's imposing on these guys, and that, you know, he doesn't get that this isn't how it's done. That's what we all think. And then, you know, you kind of flip that around. You're like, oh, I see. So I can't go too much farther because the audience has to go see it.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
Ollie's
really a lot smarter than he may appear
at first.
He's
so delightful. He's a delicious character.
Oh, yeah, he's fun.
It's really a wonderful. There's all the characters, I think, are, you know, they don't. I think Jim probably has the most amount of time on stage, but I think all those characters are. They're sort of different versions of me at different ages in
right.
my life. So,
well, and then again, so there are, again, it's set up with the two guys and, you know, whether it's the agent, the manager, again, Justin's people. And then we get Coulter. And then and then Justin comes in with also a surprise entrance.
Right.
And then every time there's this new layer, you kind of, it's so wonderful to experience because you're like, oh, okay, I don't really know where we're going, but I'm really going along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in, and it's just such a delightful character. What did you do to prepare for his uncle, for Uncle Jim?
Well, I mean, writing it, I knew that it was going to be a very difficult character to try to explain to somebody.
Right.
And I had an uncle, Robert, one of my dad's uncles that lived in...
Robert Roberts?
No, Robert okay. Johnson was
okay.
his name.
I was just checking.
On my mom's side.
Just curious.
But he was a tobacco farmer in Kentucky, and so he's in my head quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was writing it, it was one of those things where it was just like, I just would do the voice and stuff. So he sort of evolved. And then when he got on his feet, he actually became a little bit more. He started out more gruff and then became more sort of fragile. And
well, because there's a danger when we do a character like that. Anybody who, you know, wants to get into that southern, you know, whether they're a hillbilly or a redneck, mm-hmm. there's a danger of making them a caricature, which you stay away from by making him so fragile, right? We kind of see why he is that way a lot.
Right.
That sort of he puts that exterior up.
Well, as big of a character as he is, and he does seem, he also is a person that really wants to be invisible. And the kind of work that I like to do, I could never have done, you know, a big, broad caricature of a southern character, especially like that. And I think he's pretty, you know, there's a delicacy to him, I like to paint with a small brush, so.
Right.
He was kind of a fun thing to work on.
Which is the sort of a minimal aspect of where this performance takes place, because it is a smaller... How many seats are there? Is it 60 or so? 60 seats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a comic. How many tickets did we sell? 2, 4, 6, 8. Coulter, when you auditioned for this, were you familiar with Mark Roberts' work?
I mean, yeah. Once I kind of looked up the play and I mm-hmm. found out who wrote the play, and I was like, well, I need to find out about more Mark Roberts. And I was like, oh, holy smokes, this is the guy who wrote Mike and Molly.
Yep.
Created Mike and Molly, you know, wrote on 2 1/2 Men. I got to go at least try.
Right.
And I originally auditioned for Justin.
Right.
I didn't come in to audition for Ollie. I didn't see that posting. Actually, my roommate saw the posting and was like, you got to go audition for this. I just got my headshots done. So when I went in to audition, they asked me to step back out and read for Ollie. And
so smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was talking to Mark the other day, and he kind of said to me, it's like one of the first times he's ever had an audition where somebody walked in, and that's what he had imagined when he was writing it. So,
yeah, that's happened to me twice. Once with an actress in L.A. and once with Coulter. And when Coulter walked out of the room after reading Ollie, I went, well, we're done here.
That's great.
Nobody's ever going to beat that, because he was just the little Southern Jiminy Cricket in my head with this, you know, and he's in so endearing just to look at him. And,
mm-hmm.
then with the twist at the end.
You just want to pinch his cheeks. Pinch his cheeks and go, could you settle down a little bit? Take it down a notch. We are hanging out with our guests, Mark Roberts and Coulter Orion Smith. They are performing New Country at the Den Theater, and we have some tickets to give away after the news. Right now it's time for a quick break. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by actor Coulter Orion Smith.
Hey.
Do you prefer that people say all three names?
You can just say Coulter's fine.
I can't. I feel like if you put all three names in, it means that you want them to be used.
Yeah, Coulter Smith's fine.
All right, Coulter. Just Coulter Smith. No.
My mom made up the middle name, so.
Did she yell at you and use all three when she was mad?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
just usually none of my names, other names.
That the FCC won't let us use on the air.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
The ones.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking to, in all of his lives, comedian, writer, and actor, Mark Roberts. And we were talking a little bit off the air about writing for television. And, you know, it seems to me, you know, with a 75-minute play, does it sort of, have you honed that skill writing for a half hour, you know, I know it's like 22 and a half minutes, 23 minutes mm-hmm. of a contained sitcom. Is this something where you feel like the timing you try to, you know, you're not writing joke after joke. When we do those half hour comedies, there's a lot of like, you know, a lot of like ribbing, a lot of making fun of each other. This, you get to kind of spread out a little bit in 75 minutes, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you also get to examine the characters more.
Yeah, and I think you get to go a little, obviously, in a little darker areas.
Yeah, a little bit.
I do enjoy the formats of sitcoms, though. I mean, I'm actually really excited about getting back into a couple of things I'm working on right now, because I like the restrictions of that for some reason. I like the structure.
When Gary Shandling passed away a couple of weeks ago, you know, everyone, maybe wasn't paying attention before, just kind of knew, oh, he'd done the Gary Shandling show. He'd obviously been on Letterman, had been an actor. I was fascinated to find out he had been a sitcom writer in the 70s and started doing stand-up because he found it too constrained. He didn't like the format of it. Mm-hmm. And then eventually sort of reinvented what it meant to do a comedy on television.
Right.
So it's one of those things where you found a way to go off and do the things that you need to do, and that probably informs what you'll take back to LA after working on New Country. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah. I mean, when I was working on Two and a Half Men, I started writing. I was continuing to write plays all the time because I found that these other writers that I was working with, guys that had been doing television for years and years, they weren't honing their skills in their own work. They weren't continuing to work on things outside of sitcoms, and for me it just felt like one of those things. Well, I just want to become a better writer. I want to keep growing as a writer, and I don't ever want to lose that skill set, you know. So,
and when you created Mike and Molly, by the way, thank you for everybody who doesn't fit into a size zero. So the initial concept was a couple meets at an Overeaters Anonymous.
Right.
Is that the whole, was that really, where did that come from? I want to put real people on television, or is it someone that you knew or felt like, you know, a guy like Billy Gardell should get some work?
No, it was actually two ideas. I at the time I was the head writer for Two and a Half Men, and my stock was rising there. So Warner Brothers came to me and asked me if I'd be interested in giving me a script deal. And I said, sure. And at the time I was cocky enough and popular enough on Two and a Half Men that I went in and sat down with their comedy development person. I said, I want to do something blue collar in the Roseanne vein.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go write it. And they just said, okay, great. So I had been working on two things. I was working on I wanted to do a sitcom with a couple meeting mm-hmm. instead of starting out with the couch and the three kids and
right.
that actually start from square one. And I'd been working on this other thing of two Chicago cops. I had written just pages and pages of dialogue of two cops sitting in a squad car, you know, shooting the breeze with each other and this sort of bromance between those guys. And I just decided to squish the two together. And then the Overeaters thing came from the fact that I did want to have large people on the show. I wanted them to be realistic-looking people. And I've struggled with my weight since I was 11, so it seemed, you know, like a legitimate area that I would be able to, you know, truthfully comment on. So I wrote the pilot, handed it in, got one note from Warner Brothers, and then 36 hours later,
what?
CBS bought it. Yeah, it was crazy.
That is crazy.
You tell that to other writers, and they hate me.
No, there's no hate from me.
There's no development process like that. I got really lucky.
Yeah, you know? No, I mean, because I, having gone through a bit of the process with my pilot, I mean, it was from December of turning in the script and notes all the way through February. Kind of every week of like, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I mean, there were layers, right? There were my producers, and then there was the studio mm-hmm. and then a little bit from the network. So I can't even, 36 hours. That's spectacular. What was the note?
The note was the waiter was originally Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, eh, we don't really like And I think it was because
in the diner where they hang out.
Yeah, well, I think it was because they were developing Two Broke Girls at the same time, and they had a Russian cook.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to tell me that. No, we've got something else going on. So I just said, okay, fine. And then during my dinner break before the Two and a Half Men taping, I went into my office, and at the time I was training with this Golden Gloves and ex-Olympic boxer named Sammy, who was from Senegal.
Oh, no.
And he had told me all these great stories. I had his voice in my head, so I just changed the waiter to a Senegalese.
To even more wonderful results.
Yeah.
That's great.
Named him Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so great.
Called Sammy up and said, I just changed the character to you. And he went, okay, Mark.
And also a lot of comedians in Chicago love that that the mom's boyfriend's name is Vince Moranto.
Vincent Moranto.
Yes, which is a comedian in Chicago, also a regular on our show. So it's a lot of fun. And for the characters that you wrote for, because there were so many strong women on that show, on Mike and Molly. And see, I'm gonna come right back to New Country. I'm not losing my eye on the ball, Kelsey. You write women so forcefully, because all the women on Mike and Molly are just incredibly and diverse too. Her sister is, you know, kind of this. She's not a tramp, not a slut, but she likes to have fun. She's mm-hmm. got her own take on life. You know, Susie Kurtz, spectacular as the mom, but all of them a little bit of glass of wine all the time. Nothing wrong with that. But Sharon in this play comes in with, and again, every entrance is so specific. You know, it starts out with just two people already on stage. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the layers that you then bring on are so just spectacular. But Sharon comes in, she's got a motorcycle helmet, she's in leather and just badass, and she means business. And again, there's that moment of like, what's going to happen?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the creation of Sharon.
Well, I mean, I've always, if you read or have read or seen any of my other work, I always write very strong female characters, and I don't set out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, part of the theme of this play, and I think part of how the world is in my eyes, is that, you know, men have destroyed they are the destructors of the earth, and women are the ones that keep it going and clean up after them.
And what happens when you push them too far?
Yeah.
That's a little bit of what you kind of peel back, I think.
Yeah, and I thought it was, you know, that this woman had sacrificed so much to help this man get to where he was. And I think, you know, if men were honest, they would admit the fact that a lot of us have and in our lives used women as sort of, you know, guardrails and stepping stones.
Right.
And I think that's fairly common. I mean, certainly in Los Angeles, you know, there's the First Wives Club. It's not really fake, you know. Guys get to a certain point, and then it becomes about their own.
Everything becomes disposable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because they're facing their own immortality. And so it's, well, I need something fresh and new, so I won't remember that I'm also dying.
Yeah, yeah. Just push it on the back of your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about when you hear that kind of stuff, Coulter? That men treat women as, because this really is when Sharon comes in. She's the only woman in the play. You know, what's your experience with women in theater? Because we've talked about this on the show before, and how you know, sort of, how do you balance gender roles?
You know, I mean,
and that's a weird question for you.
And it's kind of a weird answer because, you know, I grew up with my mother, mm-hmm. You know, my dad was in prison the majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with just my mom, who worked three, sometimes four jobs to make sure I had my horses and could do the things I needed to do. So I've always had this great respect for women, but I'm also from a place that doesn't always.
A little macho.
Doesn't always do that. So when I see this stuff in plays like this, I mean, I love Sharon. I think mm-hmm. she's a brilliant character.
Yep.
And the show definitely needs her. I mean,
yeah,
she's very important.
I agree. There's so many important elements. And I want to invite everyone to come see the show with us, right? April 21st. We're going to have a WGN pretty late. Are you rolling your eyes? Is it the night we agreed on? I want to make sure.
No, let's do it.
Let's 21st. Do it. The 21st. Are we giving, you want to give away like a pair of tickets or two pairs of tickets? What do you want to do, Kelsey?
50
tickets.
Fill the house with Patty Vasquez fans.
All right. 312-981-7200. Come join us and for the performance of New Country on April 21st. 312-981-7200. We'll give away the first two callers, two pairs of tickets, but I'll give them away throughout the next couple weeks so people have a chance to hear more about the show, look it up, and things like that. More with our guests when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have a bunch of WGN listeners that are going to join us on April 21st for New Country. It's a Fair Trade Productions at the Den Theater, created by Mark Roberts, directed by Ian Stryker. Is that the, am I saying his name right? Sure.
Written by, did you say written by?
Directed by, written by you.
Yes, directed by Ian Stryker.
Stryker. It's a really well done play. Magnificent. I could not get over, you know, just how intense it was to be sitting so close to performers because we're on both sides of the stage. And I told you earlier that people would gasp during the, and that's how you know people are in it, is that they're kind of taking these moments so seriously. And you, Coulter, when you come in and everyone, because everyone knows that guy, mm-hmm. that overly yeah. eager, desperate to please.
Overtly eager. And trying, you know, and trying to make people like him. You
yes.
know, the guy's desperately wants
to opposite effects.
Absolutely. right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was it's just so much fun. Again, people can, that want to join us, we're going to be there on April 21st. Where can I get send people for tickets if they're not going to call, if they don't win the tickets, or unless we're packing them up?
NewCountryThePlay.com.
There we go. NewCountryThePlay.com. So join us on April 21st. It's such a great theater, too. Had you performed there before?
No, never been there.
And it's great because the ushers, they're kind of stationed throughout that floor because there are two floors of theater spaces. And they're like, you're almost there. Another turn down this hallway. And I was like, by the time I get there, I really feel like I earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look, it's scary though. If you stand at the bottom of those stairs and look up, mm-hmm. you can sort of picture the priest from The Exorcist making that fall.
Absolutely. You or in Blues Brothers, with the chairs, you know, Jake and Elwood.
Oh come. Yeah, yeah, the nun yes. at the top of the stairs.
Exactly. Either one. I will go either way. We'll go with funny.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Right.
It's just, they're stuck in the desks.
Good for you.
There we go. Are you? Have you seen how much is being produced in Chicago when it comes to television and film? It's got a little crazy.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Seen that? That's great.
It is. We had like camera crews all over for another. I asked somebody what they were filming. He goes, "Ah, some crappy pilot for Fox." I'm like, "Oh, it looks like you want to work more." That seems. Have you had an opportunity to audition for any of the local productions, Coulter?
You know, really, this was my first audition back.
Really?
I took, like I said earlier, I took a break. I came here, I got soured, and I got lied to.
And will this, do you feel like this might unsour you?
This is completely unsoured.
Freshen
me
up?
Absolutely. Well, my soul was going a little dry serving tables, too. But now my soul's full, my bank account's sad. but, you know, that all works itself out on the end, as long as you're happy with what you're doing. Yeah, I got to do more theater.
Yes, you do, because you were outstanding in this play.
Yeah.
Again, New Country at the Den Theater. Go to newcountrytheplay.com for information on tickets. And Mark Roberts, we'd love to have you back in, both of you back in, before the end of the run. Or for a, when do you leave town? When do you try to get out of here? Well, you let me know.
I'm staying until the end of May, actually. I'm writing a couple of pilots. I'm going to stay here and do them.
And finish that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to send you some stuff. Here, could you read this? I want to thank our guest, Mark.
I want it to be warm so I can flash you at the window.
Oh, yes, please. Why? Just if you want to flash, you shouldn't worry about the weather. You should just be doing that.
No, I can't have the cold weather working against me.
It would just be amusing. Mark Roberts, Colton O'Ryan Smith, thank you so much for Coulter. Yeah, sorry.
My mama will get you, Patty.
I feel like I'm going to say things wrong every time I talk to you.
Well,
Coulter O'Ryan Smith. It's because of
well,
blending things.
How many Coulters are there, really?
Yeah, well, just you for us.
We'll take that.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. That music is from the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and joining us is Rose Spraza.
Yes.
How are you? I should have said it more more convincingly, that I was confident that I was getting it correct. Congratulations, first of all. You've gotten married since we last saw you.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
You didn't invite us. Craig, were you invited to the wedding?
I was not invited to the wedding.
That's all right.
You know, it was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that would have been a hard. Yeah, I'm glad that you knew we would
It
makes it easier on us to not to say no.
For sure.
So tell us about this event we have coming up on Saturday. I'm emceeing, and you have variety show.
It's a variety show. It's the first time the Clarinet Ensemble is going to do something to try to appeal to a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be doing a variety show that includes flag twirlers.
Yes.
And dancers. And a comedian.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we have a piece that has narration. So a little bit of something for everyone.
And by the way, Craig, you told me in my ear what music they were playing a moment ago.
And then I closed it, like Pursuit of Happiness or something.
Oh, that was a piece that was commissioned for us, Pursuits of Happiness by Eric Mandat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean it was commissioned?
I commissioned it from a composer who lives in Southern Illinois.
You said write something for me?
Yeah.
And make it happy sounding?
Exactly.
And lovely?
Yeah.
We'll go back and kind of let people know the genesis of inviting you into the studio, because Craig found you. We were having bands on every week. And everyone I talked to, almost, I would say 75% of them started out playing the clarinet. Because at some point, for many kids, when they're, you know, they're told to pick an instrument, many of them, it turns out, pick a clarinet. And then they leave it. But we had not had a single clarinet player.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Craig, where are all the clarinet players? So he found all the clarinet players.
He went to the right place.
He certainly did. So tonight we were going to have 20 clarinetists.
Yeah, we have about 20 here. And this is about half of what we'll have in the concert when you're with us on Saturday.
And clarinists?
Clarinists?
Clarinetists?
I like clarinetists.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, what do you
What
do you go by?
Clarinetists.
Clarinetists.
Yes.
What did I say? Clarinetists?
Clarinetists is much better.
Now I don't know which one it was. Last hour I was getting one of our guest names wrong, and now I'm going to get clarinetists.
That was good.
All right, then. It's nice. Just pat me on the head. That's okay, Patty. You'll get one of these times. So tell us how the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble came to be. Is this Northeastern Illinois group? Or
the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, we're in residence at Northeastern,
yes.
But it's a group that I put together in 2007, and it consists of some students, some professionals, and some community members.
And how long did it take for you to attract more clarinetists?
Not long. I wasn't sure if people were going to be interested in it because it's a volunteer group.
Right.
Our guest artists, of course, that's a different story, but everybody here comes and plays. And I thought, I wonder if these people are going to want to come and read clarinet music and do clarinet concerts. And they came in droves. It's kind of unbelievable.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean,
yeah,
I'm a
it's
big,
fun.
I grew up on Glenn Miller music.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons when, you know, I was finding out how many musicians started on a clarinet but did not stay with it.
Yeah.
That's why I was curious. And I was so happy to have found you. And
likewise.
I'm sorry it's been a while, I know, since we last had you in studio.
Oh, okay.
This is something we could talk about some other time. I don't know if you have ever encountered youngsters who are, you know, wonderful clarinet players and ever have. I found out about this program in the Marines, and I know this sounds crazy, but it's kind of this really crazy. They go through boot camp, and you know, so they're trained like a Marine,
mm-hmm.
but then they travel around the world as musicians. It's like a really competitive program, and so the reason I'm telling you the story is that one of their conductors, who's also, he's not a tuba player. He told me what it was, a sousa. It was like a
sousaphone.
Yeah, sousaphone.
Okay.
And he told me that his teacher, he wanted to play the clarinet, but because he was a bigger kid, she made him play the tuba.
Yeah.
And I was like, aw. That seems a little aggressive. That seems great way to tell your student that he shops in the Husky section, right? It's like that seems, but he's now you know, he travels the world and is the conductor. He does like all the graduations at the Marine Corps boot camp in San Diego. When you were choosing an instrument, did you seek out the clarinet, or how did you end up playing?
I ended up playing because my older sister was a music major,
mm-hmm.
and when you're studying music education, you have to learn how to play all of the instruments a little bit.
Okay.
So I would, when she would bring home a new instrument, I'd kind of sit on the floor and watch her play, and I watched her play the flute and the trumpet, and you know, I'd always kind of half-heartedly go, "Can I try?" And she'd say, "No, shut up."
Ooh, cranky sister.
Yeah, yeah, oh
yeah,
yeah for sure. But the day she brought home the clarinet, I just fell in love with the sound. And
wow.
I said, please let me try. Please let me try. So I badgered her so much, and she let me try. And apparently she gave me the clarinet, and I was able to just kind of make a sound.
Right.
So she
Which
said,
is not easy to do when you just pick it up.
No, you know, because we gave you a lesson.
I know. I kept trying and trying. I was blown away, and I couldn't get that. Yeah, it was a tough
Rose's
one.
Sister sounds like a really mean clarinist.
For sure.
Is it now? Is it clarinist?
It's clarinetist.
I'm just saying it wrong on purpose, Patty. I'm
sorry. I'm so confused. Oh, well, we have 20 clarinetists in studio, and we're going to have some music from them. We'll take a quick break so you guys can set up. More with the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble with all its clarinetists after this on 720 WGN. In the Allstate Showcase studio with some live music are the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, our clarinetists playing Syncopated Clock. I have to get back to the microphone because the conductor was in my. I don't want to get in his way, Rose.
I know he's rough. He's rough.
Oh yeah, too much information about your husband. That's too much. Oh, look at how many shades of red he's turned.
It's matching his sweater.
Oh, that was spectacular. That was Chicago Clarinet Ensemble with Syncopated Clock. They'll be playing this Saturday at Northeastern Illinois University. You can go to, what's the website they can go for tickets?
www.chicagoclarinetensemble.org.
All right. And I will be there, yes?
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we will also have tickets for live stream via concert.
Oh, people can live stream this whole show?
Yeah.
I was not informed of that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. That's great. No, it's fine. I've talked to my manager about these things.
Okay.
No, that's. I wish I was kidding. It's, by the way, it's an all ages show. I've been telling people this is for your family.
Yeah.
Bring the kids out because people always worry about a comic. About I don't know why they worry about me.
Somebody did ask me that today.
But if I was capable of doing a family show,
well. Not
they're
so
not,
much
they're
like
They're not that.
That
far off the mark. No, and what I tell people when I do comedy, I can do anything from third show Saturday to church basements. So yours will be somewhere in between those two. I won't
great.
Do church basement.
Okay.
So this, you know, it's but it is appropriate for kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
My kids don't think I'm very funny, so we'll see what happens. What's the reaction you get when you tell people that you have the clarinet ensemble, the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble? They're like, oh, well, what do you play? They must be confused sometimes, right?
Not really. I mean, most people know what a clarinet is.
But that's the range of music that you can do because you guys can do anything.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of different arrangements. And like I said, we try to do interesting programs like this variety show. So they're curious.
Right. Good. Be curious.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to be.
And they want to know about the different clarinets, like Matt in the back with the contra clarinet. I
yes.
don't know if you can see him back there. Mm-hmm. Matt, can you?
I believe I compared that to the piping in my basement for the bathroom.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
And then we actually have a new member of the clarinet ensemble who's playing little clarinet, James Orlando. He's playing the E-flat clarinet, which is
Hi, James.
The other extreme.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what now? So the small, is that the, did you, had you had a small clarinet in the group before?
Yeah, we did, but this piece really features it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With the, and then also the wood blocks.
The wood blocks, yeah. So John Agnew is a percussion major at Northeastern Illinois University. Unfortunately, he's not a clarinet player.
Oh.
But we would not be
There's
able
time.
To. Yeah, we would not be able to do this without him. So we're
Oh, no, it was beautifully done. Very nice. And how many? So you have about 20 here tonight. How many altogether did you say you have?
About 45 will be there on Saturday.
And if someone wants to join the ensemble, is there an audition process? Is there an application process?
There's not really an application. They just need to come and play for me. Or if, you know.
I like the way, play for me.
Yeah.
It's like snapped. Play for me. I want to see what you have.
Pretty much.
Is it that intense? I'm not talking about your relationship again here.
Whatever.
He seriously blushes so very easily.
I know.
It's cute. It's did he say he blushes because he's old?
He did say that.
Yeah, that's weird. That's not really.
That's weird.
I don't think that's a reason that you blush. I'm going to suspect that you went ahead and blushed when you were a kid, too. Yes. Too funny. So this Saturday we have the event coming up. I'll be there. What time does it start?
7:30.
And I'm asking for the audience, not for a friend.
No, she's writing it down though.
7:30 and Northeastern Illinois University. And I've told you before, I have just a soft spot in my heart for NEIU because my mother went to school there. She was getting her degree in business and scraped me off there a lot for childcare. No, but I love the campus. I think it's one of these gems in Chicago that people don't really understand what they have at their finger. Just so nearby, in the middle of this neighborhood. Is it the Mayfair neighborhood? Is it
North Park?
North Park.
Yeah.
So I mean, you have a great auditorium with great performances. They often have Ballet Folklorico that performs there. Mm-hmm. You guys, how often do you have performances there with the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble?
We have our annual spring concert, and then we sometimes do breakout concerts, mm-hmm. or we do off-campus things too. So,
and you also are available for hire if people want to hire.
Sure.
I've told you before, I wish I'd known about you when I was getting married. I would have loved to have had a group like this.
Yeah, we love parties.
And where do people go for information on joining or booking?
ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.com. They could just email me.
Chicago Clarinet, and that's Rose.
Oh, I'm sorry, .org.
Oh!
Ooh, yeah. I made a mistake. Chicago
I've been doing it all night. It's my fault. I'm contagious.
Must be.
ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And also they have a Facebook page for this event, so you can see if anyone you know is going. and if you don't want to see them, you can just sit on the other side of the auditorium. No, I have a lot of friends that have said, I have ex-boyfriends that have confirmed. I'm still friends, you know.
Yeah, sure. You know, I know.
It is a family show, so this is something I'm really proud of. Not that when I perform at Zany's, I don't want people to come see me, but I never quite know what I'm going to say in a comedy club environment.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little more freewheeling.
Mm-hmm.
But for your event, I'm planning on a very structured show. I know
it's
material that's been tried and proven, and and there'll be some things we'll just kind of play a little bit with the audience.
Yeah.
But for people who don't, you know, like friends and family, what I'm saying is it can go south in a comedy club. Not that it can't. For any live performance, do you get like butterflies when you have a live show?
Oh, for sure.
Do you find that though, if there's a mistake, like the audience doesn't always know?
Mostly they don't.
They don't.
No, we obsess about it for years after that, but they hardly ever know.
Well, because here's the thing about audiences, and this is something everybody has to remember, no matter if it's our clarinetists in the audience or anyone that performs, the audience does not know what you meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
They never know what that's all. It's, you know, we can get all wrapped up in our heads because with comics, we'll go back and try to fix something. The audience didn't know you made a mistake until you tell them you made a mistake. It's hard to sort of own that, but it's true. They don't know what you meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all yours. And audiences are always there. They want you to succeed. That's why they're there. They've already bought into the experience. So let it go. Does she stress over it? Yeah, don't stress. Does she need a massage envy on Saturday before the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I need a massage. I have to see if we can hook you up. For you. Oh, I see. To help you relax a little bit. Yeah. What is a day before performance like for you?
Usually stressful. I mean, it depends on the performance.
Plus, you're organizing this entire thing.
Yeah.
Too.
In fact, this is one of the only concerts that I've decided not to play in. Normally, I'm in the ensemble. I do a small thing and a large thing. And I'm not, because it was so much organization. I don't want to overwhelm myself.
Put one more thing on top of
that. Yeah, plus we have 45 clarinet players, so I think I'm good.
Right, the performances are in good hands.
Yeah.
And what kind of music, how many songs do you have planned for Saturday?
So the one that you just heard, Syncopated Clock, is going to actually have two kid dancers dancing around.
Yay.
And then we have a couple pieces, two of them we can do for you tonight, are called Animal Antics.
Mm-hmm.
They're real short pieces with just one clarinet and a narrator. Davis narrating, and then Kathy Cowan, our vocal teacher from Northeastern, is going to narrate.
She can't decide what kind of weather we're going to have next either.
She's got the
winter knit hat on. I'm with you. I don't know what to wear anymore. I give up. Yeah.
I'm laughing at my hat.
I'm not laughing at your hat. I'm laughing at our weather making you wear that hat, Kathy. By the way, Cubs fan in the corner. Well done, sir.
Yes.
Yes. You do know this. You know the score, right?
Yeah,
very exciting. Were you at the game?
I was there.
Oh, that's very cool. I have friends who are Reds fans, and so today was a good day.
Oh.
That was a very, very good day. Yes. Well, are you a Cubs fan? You don't have to. Oh, look at you. Oh, much of a pause.
You
don't like sports?
Music nerd, yeah.
That's all right.
No, it's really not.
You have the group play Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah, we have a clarinet.
Or Go Cubs Go.
Conrad and Jen Petkus played Take Me Out to the Ball Game at one of our last concerts.
She's like, what? Oh, right. Jen's like, hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Hey, Patty.
Yes.
I don't know if you can see me behind all the clarinets.
I cannot.
But we need to take a commercial break. If the clarinists could all move around, I'm trying to do the hand signals.
More after this with our Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. Go to ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org for ticket information about this Saturday and for information about their future performances, and maybe you're interested in joining. Just a moment after this. You are listening Pretty Late live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. Here they are with some narration included by Kathy. Here is Bear in There.
There's a polar bear in our Frigidaire. He likes it because it's cold in there. With his seat in the meat and his face in the fish and his big hairy paws in the buttery dish. He's nibbling the noodles. He's munching the rice. He's slurping the soda. He's licking the ice. And he lets out a roar if you open the door. And it gives me a scare to know he's in there. That polary bear in our Frigidaire.
Excellent. That was Bear in There by the Chicago Clarinet. Was that the end? I didn't interrupt it.
Yeah,
okay. I always have this. It's one of my biggest fears. I've actually done it to a band before. And Sam, can you squeeze in? Come on in.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam. Sit down. Cubs.
Kind of Cubs. We've been talking with the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. This is Rose and about 20 clarinetists from Chicago Clarinet. Hold on. Let me see. I know, right?
You got a band.
It's like we were waiting for you. Here comes Sam.
Well, I thought this was a prank. I thought you were just telling me to come on and then, I'm waiting for the cameras to pop out. Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
All right.
Sam Panayanovich is one of our sports reporters. But it just came from the Cubs game, yes? We had the Cubs game?
Yeah, home opener. I got there at 2. I left at 11.
That seems about right. Why not? What a great day.
It's crazy. There's nothing like it.
6-1? Is this right?
They were getting no hit in the 7th inning, yet they still win the game by 2 runs.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because this season they're announcing their presence
with authority. Sorry. That's Patty. I'm not actually a Cubs fan. She just makes me yell it.
I do. I make him yell. Authority.
You know what this place is like? I thought about this on the way here. What is Wrigley Field right now, given the youth of the team, their exuberant manager, who's like, the coolest dad ever? It's like a jungle gym. They have fun.
Yeah.
They're out there yucking it up and laughing and smiling, and they know that at the end of the day, they've got better guys than you. They're going to come find a way to win, and then after they win, they celebrate.
Yeah.
There's a party room now. The old dugout is a party room.
Is it really? The old dugout?
Disco ball.
No.
Fog machines.
Come on.
Confetti streamers. I'm not making this up.
Oh my!
They have a designated party room.
Do they rent it out when the Cubs aren't playing? Because I want to go play in the party room.
They might have to.
I would think. How great would that be? I say we have a party for the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble in the old dugout at Wrigley Field.
I'm telling you.
Can you imagine?
They come in and they have this new state-of-the-art clubhouse where everything.
Have you had a chance to see it?
Yeah, went into it today. 30,000 square feet, second largest in baseball. But, everything that they do, everything that oozes out of them is having fun and just being loose.
And what kind of, when he was at spring training, wasn't Joe doing like petting zoos and stuff in the locker room? Wasn't there like,
oh, he's had
magicians,
snakes,
and, yeah,
panda bears.
Yeah, for real.
I'm waiting for the elephant. Yeah. That's the next step. Can you get an elephant in Wrigley Field? I don't think you could.
Didn't they have like a baby, like a cub bear at the, I believe if I saw the pictures?
No, they've had leopards.
It's so bizarre. And
they've had magicians when they got swept last year. Mm-hmm. Madden brought a magician into the clubhouse when they were playing the Mets.
To bring the magic back to the team.
Swept the Mets, mm-hmm, and didn't look back until they actually, I guess, lost to the Mets when it counted. But
well, yeah. Well, there's that. There was that.
Yeah.
Guys, but, yes, a magician for sure could get an elephant inside the stadium. That could happen.
Oh, it has happened.
That's very true. No, yeah, but if you think about Wrigley, I don't know that you could fit an elephant in any of those entrances now. Not to mention, he's not getting through the metal detector.
Oh, is there a metal detector now?
Oh,
was there before?
All over. That's why the lines were so long.
But had they didn't have those before, did they? No, I don't remember that.
And you remember when you were a kid, you went to Wrigley all the time.
Yeah.
You'd get your tickets behind the marquee,
mm-hmm,
on Clark
Thunder,
there.
Right.
And then if you were walking into the bleachers, you would kind of hug the west side of Wrigley.
Right, the
right?
wall.
You'd walk
right
along the facade. You can no longer do that.
Not along Clark? Why?
No, well, it's under construction still. The plaza isn't approved yet. They haven't gotten the rights to do that. And then the very left field corner next to the Wrigley Field exterior is the office building, which is going up.
Oh, weird.
So you have to walk around now to just to get in. But it's there's so many new things. It's such an old park, but there's so many new things. It's so crazy.
What'd you eat?
I had the Champ Summers at Hot Dogs.
Oh, yeah, the hot dogs because we've now had Hot Doug. He doesn't call himself Hot Doug, although he should. We had Doug in studio one night.
He's ugly. He's as ugly as can be.
No,
convention.
It's
no,
not
kidding.
The truth. He's a really sweet guy who's very proud of his product. And yeah, so how was the hot dog?
It was worth every penny of the $9.50.
That sounds about right. Well, we've now become one of the, was it number three, the third most expensive park in the country?
That sounds about right. And if you thought parking was bad last year,
take public transportation.
Yes.
What I did last year was I just Ubered like three blocks away. I didn't even let my Uber driver get sucked into that mess of traffic. Yeah.
I'm telling you what, they're going to start shuttling people from Evanston, mm-hmm, because that's where it's going. The parking lot that I park in, last year it was called the Green Lot.
Uh-huh.
Guess what it's called this year?
What's it called?
The Toyota Camry Green
Lot. Really? Even the lots have sponsorship?
Yeah.
How's that? Okay, I guess that makes sense.
So I pull up to the Toyota Camry parking lot.
And how much was a Toyota Camry parking lot?
No, well, the media pass works.
Oh.
Until they push you out in the playoffs.
Okay.
But I thought it was fascinating.
Do I have a media pass? Wait a minute. Can I get a media pass for Wrigley?
You can get a daily pass.
Maybe. We'll see. Maybe.
But how about that? Have you ever heard of a parking lot being sponsored?
No, I've never heard of that.
Only at Wrigley.
How did you take the news on Friday when Schwarber? Well, you're a Sox fan?
Yes.
Yes.
I root for
my brother's in the minor leagues for the Sox, whatever.
I root for the Cubs, though, because I'm so partial to this group of, like I said, the group of kids. There's not an unlikable guy in that clubhouse. So
oh, that's great.
You hate to see anything happen to any of the good players. And this was a guy last year. I mean, you watched every game. He put a home run in the river in Pittsburgh, yeah, in the playoffs.
Did they put one of his home runs in the playoffs under glass?
Against the Cardinals. He hit it on top of the video board in right field,
yep,
that they actually just put back out there. And there was a standing ovation today for Kyle Schwarber. He crutched out of the dugout.
Oh,
did you catch that?
I did not see that.
They bring everybody out. The whole team is out there. Reserves, starters, pitcher. And then everybody's thinking, well, where's Schwarber? Is Schwarber here?
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, and now, number 12, Kyle,
wow,
Schwarber. He kind of crutched out there.
Yeah.
But got a standing ovation.
It was a collision with another outfielder. Was it the kind of thing that one of them could have called the other guy off? Or was that, I mean, I know it happens, but it just, you hate to see that happen. It's just one of those moments where you go, off only.
Rule of thumb in the outfield is go after it until somebody calls it.
Right, and nobody called it.
It went right in the middle.
Yeah.
It split them right down the middle. Dexter Fowler in center. Schwarber and left, and
they both,
I mean, that's
running
just
all
a
out
freak play. There's, yeah, a couple of situations like that in baseball, like, you know, play at the bag, mm-hmm, on a steal or a double play attempt, infielder colliding with outfielder as,
right,
they come in and go out, and then outfielders kind of coming together,
right, at full speed,
or play at the plate.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was
some things
saying, with the
like
catchers,
these,
yeah,
you know, sometimes things like that just happens. It's, yeah, just a freak play.
Yeah. Well, it's looking good. 6-1, and you were. Now, how was the? I'm guessing the bathroom situation is not bad. Last year was kind of crazy. It was embarrassing.
The most messed up thing I saw there was they had porta potties lining the outside. One of the porta potties was actually on top of a brick that was donated to Jack Brickhouse.
What?
Yes. There's a porta potty on top of.
Someone's not paying attention.
That's a bad look.
That's a bad look.
That's a bad look.
Yeah, that's not
I don't think everybody thinks everything through. By the way, the last thing that the Cubs see when they go in to enter their new clubhouse is a framed picture of Ernie Banks and Ron Santo like in their 20s.
Oh, wonderful.
And they're smiling, big, wide smiles. And that's the last image they have before they get into the clubhouse, which I thought was a great way to pay respect.
So if you get there at 2, is that what you're doing, kind of sightseeing all the different, the new improvements at the field?
Walk around the park, see what's new, see what hasn't been changed.
And where you ended up sitting in the bleachers or no?
No, I walked out to the bleachers, but our seats are in the press box.
That's right.
You know, behind home plate.
Press box. Sam's like, I'm up in the press
box. I would love to be behind home plate, to be honest with you, because you can see what the pitches are. But
Who threw the opening day pitch?
You had three-headed monster of Ryan Sandberg, Billy Williams, and Briggy Jenkins.
Okay, sure.
They all threw it out. But today, I mean, it's so crazy. The third-string catcher breaks up a no-hitter. Then the big free agent signing knocks the big hit, and then a 22-year-old kid hits a game-winning homer.
So we won 4-3?
5-3.
5-3. You know why, Craig? Because the Cubs are announcing their presence.
With authority! Okay, that's happening. And it was really sad to see the whole Schwarber thing, right? That whole thing was touching and sad and interesting.
I thought him walking out there on a crutch was sad, and he hasn't had surgery yet.
Right.
There's still a lot of swelling. He tore two knee ligaments, ACL, LCL, has an ankle sprain to go along with it. So I imagine he's in pain. I thought it would have been better if they would have shown him in a suite with like his foot up on a pillow.
It's not on the Jumbotron.
Yeah,
of...
drinking a Mai Tai or something. No. But no, he came on full uniform and
he wanted to be there.
He wanted to be there.
Part of the home opener, of course.
Yeah.
We are hanging out with Sam Panionovich and the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. I'll bet you it's the first time it's ever been said in the same sentence, Sam.
Hopefully not the last.
That's right. More music and conversation when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. I will be appearing with our guests, the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, this Saturday at Northeastern Illinois University. Go to ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org. Right now, here they are performing Cat Jacks.
Do not play jacks with a jaguar cat. You'll never beat her. If she don't win, she'll start to whine. If she gets an 8, she'll pick up 9. She'll say she didn't. But you'll know she's lying. She's such an awful cheetah.
Yeah. That was Cat Jacks by the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. And we have in studio with us Rose Peraza, who is the creator. And Big Cheese, do we just call you the Big Cheese? Does Dave call you the Big Cheese when it comes to the...
That's one thing he doesn't call me.
He doesn't... Wow. They're married, Sam. So apparently there's a lot of name calling at home. And that was very fun. There's going to be a lot of different pieces that I think people will be just delighted by on Saturday. Again,
sure.
By the way, the website or one of this site says for concert window, it says it's at 8:30. Is it at 7:30 or 8:30?
It's 7:30 our time.
Because this is the live stream. Is that why?
Oh, no, you're... That's not right. No, that's not right. I'll have to change that. It's 7:30.
Yes, it's 7:30. I just want to make sure because if I send people, okay, this is concert window. That's like one of the
tickets. Unless they do it on Eastern
time, right?
Yeah.
Unless your watch is on Eastern time.
Yeah,
8:30 according to your watch. 7:30 according to the watches in the Midwest. But that's going to be at Northeastern Illinois University, and it's in the auditorium at NEIU.
Yeah.
And tickets, our general admission is $15. Students are
ten.
So come see us. Come hang out. There's going to be dancers. There'll be flag twirlers.
Yep.
And storytelling along with the music.
Right. And we have an E-flat clarinet virtuoso from Venezuela, Jorge Montilla.
Who's going to teach me how to play the small clarinet?
Yes, he is.
I was thinking, since we're going to talk Blackhawks eventually,
yes, Sam?
Can any of these people play Chelsea Dagger on the clarinet?
Anyone? Oh, can you really?
Yeah. That hand went up way too quick. Like, I didn't even finish what I was about to say, and the hand went up.
Yeah, what did you want to say besides that?
Nothing. No, nothing.
Do we test him out and see if he's like Chelsea Dagger?
I mean, he's blushing. I think
he is blushing.
Have to.
He's like, did I raise my hand too fast? How do we get?
It's worth a try.
It is worth a try.
He's like, no, I had an itch.
Do you need a moment, or do you want us to put you to the challenge right now?
Right now.
All right then. Do it. All right, let's go. What's his name?
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Good luck, Joe.
Here's Joe at Chelsea Dagger. Yeah!
That was it. That's it. That's it. Where else do you get Chelsea Dagger on clarinet?
That's why we have the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble in our studio. They bring something that nobody else can, mostly clarinets.
I meant on your show. Like, yes. This is the only place you'll ever hear that.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Who else is? Here's the thing. I told Craig I wanted to know where all the clarinet players were, and he found every single one of them.
By the way,
and I love this.
By the way, Chelsea Dagger and clarinet is like the most polite way to celebrate if we got a goal. Be like, yeah, we did it. Oh, that's so nice.
It is the most polite version.
It's just weird not having an overweight guy with a jersey three times too small and a mustard stain on his shirt singing it.
That was really great, Joe. Thank you so much. That was wonderful because we are. We start the playoffs on Wednesday. I was wearing my Blackhawks gear earlier today, and it's funny how quick the conversation starts up with anybody when you're in public. How do you think we're going to do? Crawford's back, right? And then Duncan Keith's going to be out for one more game. Everyone starts like prattling off all these different elements. How do we feel? How are you feeling, Sam?
If they win the first series, they're going to win the cup.
That's what I heard someone say yesterday. Was it you?
It could have been.
Someone said that if whoever wins this first round between the Blues and the Blackhawks toward the Stanley Cup is going to win the Stanley Cup.
I just think if you look at their last stretch of seasons since 2010, they win the Cup in 10, they win it in 13, they win it in 15. In 14, they lost in Game 7 of the Western Conference Final to the Kings. Kings went on to win the Cup. Mm-hmm. The other 2 years, 11 and 12, they lost in the first round. So they're the type of team where once they get through that first series, it just clicks for them.
Okay.
And realistically, you know, I don't know. I mean, the Kings are good again. You might see the Hawks and Kings in the Western Conference Final.
Wow, again.
Again.
All right.
They're that good, both sides of the coin.
It is really fun to watch the Blackhawks play the Kings win in Los Angeles in an all-Chicago bar. They have old style. It's just like the whole bar is decked out in Chicago stuff.
I've always viewed hockey as sort of like, you know, look at your roulette numbers. How many do you have? Mm-hmm. And you look at the Hawks numbers, and they've got 19 Taves, 88 Kane, 2 Keith, 7 Seabrook, 50 Crawford, 81 Hossa, 15 Anisimov, 72 Panarin. You know, we're just rolling through these players and all this depth.
Right.
So, you know, they've got more money players than you do, usually. I mean,
I like your description tonight of both the Blackhawks and the Cubs. Are like, we got better players than you do. Let's go. Let's do this.
It's really what it is. They're very similar, too. Yeah. I mean, they really are. They lost for a long time.
And this team is, if we're comparing them that way, they've held on to that playing spirit, even though they're not all young.
These are
a lot of veterans.
These are vets. I mean, Jonathan Toews has been in the league since 2007. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's almost 10 years in the National Hockey League right now. These aren't kids anymore.
Right. And even if Darling does have any, because I know he's just come off of being injured, we still have, I mean,
Crawford.
Darling is the backup.
I was going to say, wait.
Yeah, wait, what? No, sorry. No, I don't have any reports that you don't have. No, Crawford just got back on the ice, and
yes,
he'll be in the goal. But Darling is right there, ready to go. And he's always stepped up.
He was good against Nashville last year until he, you know, had to give way to the guy who brought them there. I mean, Crawford's been their best player this year. 7 shutouts before he got hurt. A rumor is a concussion, so they call it an upper body injury. You'll never know. They'll never tell you, and it's not really our business. But he's back.
Right.
Joel Quenneville said he expects a fully healthy lineup, so everybody's back. He's got options, mm-hmm, and, you know, he's got some of the best players in the world on his squad.
But the last games going into before the playoffs, it was a little inconsistent, I think, is probably the best way to
say it. You're missing 5, 6, 7 yeah, guys. Taves didn't play in Nashville. Jalmerson didn't play in Nashville. Hossa has been hurt. Shaw's been hurt. Anisimov had a concussion. So, I mean,
so it's a matter of how much time they've been able to recover.
Just get to the playoffs healthy. Once you're there, then you make your move.
Right.
Like the Minnesota Wild. Everybody talks about, oh, the Minnesota Wild didn't lose to the Blackhawks this year. Okay, who do you want in the playoffs? In the best of 7, when the Blackhawks get better, mm-hmm, in 4, 5, 6, and 7, you better kick their ass early.
Right.
Or you're not going to beat them.
Otherwise
you better take 2 out of 3 and be up 2-1 and try and, you know, eke out a couple more, you're not going to beat them when it gets late in the series.
Well, how many games do you think we're going to go in this first round?
I think the Hawks win it in six.
Six.
Which would be on home ice.
Okay.
Because the
Blues
have
home ice. Craig, we didn't go to a game this year. I realized the other day that we did not go to a single game.
You know, last year we went to a really important game.
And
so
they
I'm
lost.
Hoping management
yep.
sends us to one of those again.
Wasn't that the Lightning game?
Yeah. No.
No. We lost.
We went to game four, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I got an email today that said, don't call it the finals. Call it the final.
Stanley Cup. Oh,
did you see that email?
Yeah, I did. Where my email?
The NHL actually sent out an email that said, don't call it the Stanley Cup finals. Call it the NHL playoffs either.
Wait, I have the list. Okay. Stanley Cup playoffs, right? No? What is it supposed to be called?
Stanley Cup playoffs.
Stanley Cup playoffs. Is the official
language. Stanley Cup playoffs, apparently, correct.
Does that apply to me? Because I don't know what I'm doing anyway. Right? So I don't.
I thought it was like.
And the Blackhawks are going to be playing a division winner. That's what you have to call that.
But the NHL is so.
That's for reporting. You're reporting. I'm just.
No. I thought that was hilarious that they sent me an email to tell me what to call it. That no other league would do that.
Here, hold on. Let me say. Okay. As a reminder, please refer to your playoff coverage as Stanley Cup playoffs, not NHL Cup playoffs. Additionally, the teams who finish first in their division in the regular season are considered division winners. We will not have division winners. What does that part mean?
I have no idea.
Well, that contradicts the last sentence.
I know.
Real quick, one more thing, since we're talking about some internal stuff.
Yes.
Those ice trays that went missing, that was my fault.
Are they gone?
No. So upstairs, someone wrote a really intense note about how ice tray theft is wrong and whatnot. I have a photo. I'll share it on our Facebook page, but that was me.
That was us. We've borrowed.
Whoops.
We don't have any ice trays. We don't have any ice trays. We don't have any water.
We don't have any water.
I was looking everywhere for cups upstairs. I couldn't find a cup.
You're worried about your ice trays. We have no water for guests.
I actually did take a photo that I was considering printing that has an empty water jug and says, refill this, and then it's got the ice trays.
Right.
We'll return these.
Yes, exactly.
No cups
Give us
in
water.
The sports office. None in the newsroom. There was a wine glass. So I thought to myself, do I want to be that guy walking around with a wine glass full of water.
Yes, you do.
And I decided against it. No, not yet. It's not Friday.
The four playoff rounds should be named as follows, Sam Panionovich.
Mm-hmm.
First round or round one.
I know that I told you. I've never heard of a league doing this before.
Number two, second round or round two is also acceptable, Rose. Conference finals, Western Conference final and Eastern Conference final.
Right. Conference finals, but if they're singular, you drop the S. This is where it gets tricky.
Final. Stanley Cup final. Not Stanley Cup finals. Not NHL Stanley Cup final. Not NHL final.
Not Super Bowl. Not World Series. No, duh.
Now that I have all the knots, I can't think of anything but all the knots.
All right. You just read that whole email. Hide your phone for a second.
Yes.
Do you remember what you just read?
I have division... Division, no, something or another.
See, you don't even know what you read.
I don't
That's
know.
The problem
I
of have, an email like that.
I have no idea what any. Well, I'm also not a sports reporter.
It doesn't matter.
By the way, the Bulls won tonight. Are they still playing?
They're eliminated. I don't know.
Eliminated?
Yeah, they're not going to the playoffs. They're out.
Oh, this isn't playoff season? What's happening?
Regular season.
They're still playing the regular season.
The Bulls
season.
Played their last regular season game, and now they're sad. It's
and now they select their tee times.
This is the first time they haven't been in the playoffs since what, 2000?
This is the first time Derrick Rose has ever missed the playoffs in his life.
Oh. What kind of season did he have?
He wasn't bad. He got better as it went along, but he never missed playoffs in high school. Went to the title game in college one year.
What?
And ever since they drafted him number one in 2008, he's never missed the playoffs until this year.
Oh, boy.
Well, his team. He missed the playoffs when he got hurt, but... Right.
What do you want to tell us about the Cubs? They look good for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, sure. Just they'll
rest
be
of
good.
Season. What do you think? You think it's should we be this pumped? Because I'm really excited.
I think you should.
All right.
I think you should think
all
World
in?
Series.
All
I think
in?
They're going to the series.
I promise Carm, if it goes south, I will drink him under a table. Or I think he asked me to hide under a table. Something about a table.
Something about a table.
Something
okay.
a table. That's Sam Panionovich. Follow him on Twitter, SP Shoot, and find him on Facebook, Sam Panionovich. Traditional spelling.
Yes. There's not many of us. You get to P-A-N and it autofills.
P-A-N Teodovich.
Yes.
That's other. By the way, how's your brother doing?
He's good.
Yeah.
He's very good. He might be going to Great Falls, Montana to pitch.
Okay. It's exciting.
Yeah, live in Montana. By the way, I think I owe you an apology, and I think Elliot Serrano's busting me out right now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all right.
Yeah, no, I feel bad, though. And then, you know, he starts chirping, so.
Man, that's all right. Oh, is he tweeting at you?
Yeah,
that's appropriate.
Yeah, it's
he'll
okay.
He'll be here. He'll be here Friday, so you know where to find us.
All right, I'm sorry though.
All right,
sorry I didn't
show.
Okay.
I forgive you, Elliot. Maybe not so much.
Well, it's okay.
All right, are we doing another song after the news?
We have one more.
One more song from the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. Sam, we'll see you at the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble performance on
you
Saturday.
You got it.
All right then. It's the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. There'll be flag twirlers, storytelling, something for everybody, dancers as well. Here they are right now performing Serenata. Chicago Clarinet Ensemble with a Serenata. You can see them this Saturday at Northeastern Illinois University. The show is at 7:30. It's in the auditorium. I'll be emceeing the event. There'll be flag twirlers, dancers, storytelling. This is an all ages show, so bring your family, bring the kids. Would love to meet a lot of our listeners there on Saturday. And I just had the page up a minute ago, and now I don't know where it went. Oh, here we go. A variety show hosted by yours truly. It is in 4 days, 18 hours, 18 minutes, and 48 seconds. 47. And you can buy tickets right here. If you go to ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org, you can also find their link on Facebook. They have a whole event page for the event on Saturday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So rehearsals, I will show up for rehearsal. I will do that. Well, I don't often, but for you, I would do. Do that. Well, because I want to hang out and get the feel for everything too. It's a different, it's sort of a different performance for me too. Yeah. How much time am I doing? I will do an on-air production meeting. 15 minutes. What do you need?
For what?
For opening the show.
Oh, your comedy?
Yes.
Oh, whatever. 10, 15, sure.
Perfect.
Whatever,
and then stuff in between.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rose.
Thank you.
Not only for being here and bringing all these talented performers. You guys are wonderful musicians. Thank you so much. And thank you for staying up late. I heard all of you trying to make arrangements for tomorrow and not going to class. And
not going to theory class, I heard.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to be responsible for that. Nap. It's a way of life, my friends. It's a way of life. Thank you again, Rose, and we will see you on Saturday.
Looking forward.
Thank you. And Craig, we'll take a quick break here and set up. I think we have Brian Altimer coming on in a little bit. All right, awesome. More after this. We're going to talk about the sort of scary situation and the circumstances which bouncers across the city are finding themselves after a tragic event in the last couple weeks. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And several weeks ago, there was a tragic event at a bar, and a bouncer was... Here's the thing, is that you always kind of think of bouncers as sort of the last line of defense. You know, people are being too rowdy, or you just think of them as being, you know, the guys who check your ID at the door, try to keep things in order. But, you know, they're kind of just there in the background. We don't really think much about them. But there was a deadly shooting not too long ago, and the bouncers in Chicago are feeling, you know, like, are we safe? And we have on the line with us Brian Altimer, who last time we had him on our show, I believe, was reporting on the porn convention out of Vegas. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, this is good because you won't be just our porn commentator. You can also now, I think we should branch out into other
avenues. He is our lifestyles expert from bouncing / being out at the clubs.
I like that. Lifestyles expert. Do you prefer that as your title, Mr. Altimer?
Yeah, that's cool. Jack of all trades.
A jack of all trades. So you are a bouncer.
Yes, I am. I actually manage security at a bar on the north side of the city. And been doing that for a number of years now. So, when I heard the news about the one bouncer actually being killed, it got me to thinking, you know, because this is, I mean, when people actually bounce at a bar, the last thing, honestly, what we're thinking about, you know, is actually losing our lives.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, keeping people safe. And you're right, we're guys, you know, when you go out to a bar, we check your IDs, or if you get a little bit too rowdy, we're like, hey, calm down. You know, but we do occasionally, you know, and I recently had this happen to me about 3 weeks ago, where I had a guy actually threaten my life, and he was, I don't know how serious he was, but it got to the point where I actually had to, you know, call the police because, you know, right. Some people, and this is just me personally, it's like if you're going to, you know, threaten my life or anything like that, I'm like, if you're not that crazy, you know, and that's my way of thinking. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Right.
But this time that it happened, I was like, okay, let me, you know, get the police involved because I don't know what you're really going to do. But yeah, it's really unfortunate that, you know, recently it's just, you know, it's more prevalent now.
What's the reaction from the police department if you are saying, look, this person seems like they're being dangerous and taking something to another level? Is the police department kind of, well, nothing has actually happened yet? Is it that attitude, or do they intervene and try to, you know, make sure that person isn't still posing a danger?
Well, it's funny you should say that because, I remember a few years back when I would contact the police and they would be like on it, like really, really good. But this recent one that happened, you know, when I called, you know, the police, it was really, they were kind of really like nonchalant about it. And my only guess is that, you know, especially CPD, they've been, you know, under the microscope for the past few months. So the last thing they need is the bad publicity. So they're going to, you know, be really careful about what they do to somebody that, what's the best word I can say? Somebody that they think that may be a nuisance or anything like that. So it's a little bit of everything because I've told, you know, upper management at the current bar, and they're kind of stuck in between what they should do, and then they're dealing with the police as well. So it goes to both ways. But, like, I mean, for me, it is getting scarier out there, and it has me, you know, really thinking, okay, I really should stop doing this. You know, I like doing it because I'm a people watcher.
Right. Right. And you see a little bit of everything as a bouncer. I mean, how many times have you watched Roadhouse, just out of curiosity?
Oh, my God. I've seen Roadhouse about 7 times.
You know they're making a remake, I believe, is in the works.
Yeah, with Ronda Rousey, and I'm kind of curious to see how that pans out.
Well, when you say you like the job, it isn't because you're a thrill seeker or you like danger. It's because there is an importance in that job. You know that people are going out to have a good time. Ultimately, your job is to make sure that everyone is safe and following the law, which is why you card people. You want to make sure that the bar is not, you know, putting themselves at risk, or that, you know, that people hanging out aren't at risk either. But when you get into situations where, I mean, all it takes, Brian, is for someone to feel like they've been attacked personally, to then internalize that, get mad, you know, shove or, you know, pull out a weapon. Or as a story in DNA Info, this bouncer said he kicked out a guy earlier in the night, came back later to shoot him. And the bullet traveled through his arm, which he had used to shield himself from the bullet. 4 days later, the manager of the bar called, and they wanted him to train the guy that was going to take over his job because they were demoting him and kind of acting as though he had escalated the situation. So it doesn't sound like that bar even had his back.
Right, and that's part of the problem, too. It's like a case-by-case basis in that particular situation. And I look at it like this. I'm there to protect the people that's in the bar as well as the bartenders, bar backs, and some people may think that I'm being, you know, I guess a douche, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But
fair enough.
It's all to keep people safe, and and me being up north, the trend that I'm seeing is that most of the people that, you know, cause trouble, or that come up to those types of bars and cause trouble, are people that are from the south side or west side, and they particularly, they're not going to cause trouble on the south side or west side because they're already up under a microscope. So they go up north, you know, Gold Coast or Boys Town and Rogers Park. They'll come up there because, you know, the police presence is a little lax up north, so they come up there and they cause trouble, and it's, you know, it's been getting bad for the past few months, and it's I've been saying this for about the past 4 months, is that, you know, it's been cool outside, and these guys are getting more and more emboldened now,
right?
And so when I hire new security, my main thing is that, you know, we're not there to be Patrick Swayze. We're not there to sit there and try to fight everybody that comes in the door. We're there to be the cooler. We're there to, you know, keep the situation under control. So if somebody is being a little extra, mm-hmm. we're there to, you know, calm the situation. And the last resort is to, be physical. And
right, because that escalates thing. Once you get physical, then they feel like they've been challenged too. When someone's out of control,
right.
Yeah.
Especially when alcohol is involved. When alcohol is involved, the last thing you want to do is put your hands on somebody. And I hate when I get security guards that are used to the old school way that, hey, we're going to just go ahead and put our hands on you and, you know, and do something. I hate that. I like to be, I'm more verbal. I'm more, you know, let me talk to you.
Right.
Let me explain to you why I'm not letting you in the club or why I'm kicking you out the club. Let me explain it to you, you know.
Right. Well, there's more psychology behind the way you're trying to do it.
Yeah.
You're trying to, and that's the thing is when you try to reason with somebody, at what point do you go, oh, I see, this person is not operating? Where's the line between, you know, trying to remove somebody and then having to call the police?
Well, what's crazy, too, is that when it gets to that point, normally they're, like, extra confrontational.
Right.
And I always wait for them to put their hands on me first.
Okay.
And I had situations, honestly, with women. And,
yeah.
You know, women and alcohol, it gets a little, you know, crazy. But dealing with women is a totally different monster when it comes to
unruly,
getting them out of a bar or trying to, you know, talk to them. Because with that, when if I get hit by a woman, the first thing I'm doing is I'm calling the cops because I don't want to be that guy. They say, hey, he put his hands on me first, so I just call the cops.
Well, especially with like video cameras, they could just make it look like you just hit her and not what happened in the moments before.
Right.
All the cell phones and things like that. Man, this sounds dangerous. Have you ever been in a situation where someone has tried to use a weapon?
No, thank God. But I had situations where somebody was coming in a bar and, hey, let me check your purse or let me check your bag, and then I'll find a weapon. Like, the worst thing I found in somebody's bag was, like, a butcher knife.
What?
Yeah.
Who goes out clubbing with a butcher's knife in their purse?
I have no idea. Like I said, it's all kinds of people out there. I found a pair of nunchucks one time.
So. Wow. Hey, you got to be a special kind of crazy to carry around nunchucks. This is going to come in handy.
Yeah.
That comes out. When a Jackie Chan movie breaks out, you want to have your nunchucks and Chinese stars ready to go, don't you?
Exactly. And
Do you have any training in, like, you know, physical, like, you know, whether it's martial arts or boxing or anything like that to, you know, because a lot of that is more of avoidance rather than engaging a physical encounter?
Well, yeah, well, me personally, I was in the Marine Corps, so I, you know, had line training, so I do know how, you know, as far as hand-to-hand combat, I do know how to handle myself.
Right.
But that's the last thing I'm doing is putting my hands on somebody, so
I agree.
I really try not to do
that. And anybody that doesn't know, Brian's not exactly a small guy.
No,
he's a big dude.
Yeah. Big dude.
I would not want to pick a fight with him.
No, why would you just, right. He tells you get out, you go, you okay.
No matter how drunk I was, I'd be like, that's totally cool, I'll see you later.
How long were you in the Marines, Brian?
I was in from 97 to 2001, actually. It was a really crazy experience. I know, I think you were out there, weren't you?
Yeah, we now do a monthly segment called Semper Film, where we watch military movies with Marines. You should
nice.
Come, you should come join us sometime, hang out and watch some movies.
Definitely, I will.
Where did you train? Were you at San Diego or Paris Island?
Yes, I was in San Diego, and I was stationed at Camp Pendleton for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Miss my Marine Corps brothers.
Yeah, no, it's a. We had Mark Carman actually had to read that speech when you make the phone call home.
Oh yeah,
I won't be able to contact you for 2 weeks. Do not try to.
Yeah.
Who did you call? Who did you call with that phone call home?
My first call, I called home to just let my mom know I made it there.
Right.
Because I'll never forget when I enlisted, and she lost her mind. She's like, "What did you do?" I'm like, you know, I'm tired of just, you know, it's at that point, you know, when I got out of high school, when I graduated, you know, I worked, you know, I didn't want to go to college right away, and I worked, you know, a couple part-time jobs. Like, I got tired of working at these part-time jobs that was going nowhere, and I'm like, you know what, let me do something different.
Yeah.
And I knew my uncle was in the Marine Corps, and I was like, let me try the Marine Corps. I didn't want to go Army, didn't want to go Air Force. I said, let me do Marine Corps. It was the hardest one of the armed services.
Yo, no kidding. I mean, we were there when they were coming down the Reaper, completing the Crucible. Yeah, that's not something you just go, well, let me see what this is like.
Ooh,
yeah, it was, that's like the best feeling in the world when you finish the Crucible and you finally get your
Warriors breakfast
anchor.
Oh yeah,
the Warriors breakfast.
Yeah, I guess the Eagle Globe and anchor is probably more important than your Warriors breakfast. Yeah, that's well. We
yeah,
we have.
Pretty hungry.
Yeah, I know you. I'll bet. But I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Brian Altimer, who also has his own podcast. How can people find your podcast on WGN Plus?
Yes, it's the Sean Green Show. So you can go to WGNPlus.com and check that out. And also SeanGreenShow.com if you want to check out more of the, let's say, uncensored stuff.
Well, hopefully we can have you join us in studio sometime for the censored stuff. Our new lifestyles expert.
Oh, thank you.
I like it. All right, have a great night, Brian. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Take care. More after this on 720. Is it? Do I have a break or do I go right to the news? Oh, I have a break. Let's just do this. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I was going through a lot of stories tonight, but I came across one that caught my attention because, Craig, do you and Betty text very often? I mean, when you communicate, did you prefer to talk or to text?
I mean, we do text, but not... That's not the preferred way to communicate, no.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
How about you, Ez? You and...
We text.
You text?
We text. We actually text through Facebook Messenger.
Why?
I don't know, because there's a bunch of GIFs and funny faces in it.
Oh, yeah, I can see
better,
that.
Have you guys ever done that in the same room?
Message each other from Facebook?
Actually, we were sitting at a bar, and we were next to each other, but there was like a situation going on with a couple next to us, so I would text him... things that I wanted to say, like comments on what was going on.
Right, because you can't say them.
Right.
It's very hard to be subtle when they're sitting right there, yeah. And you would like to be, you know, loud about it.
Exactly.
So the best way to do it is it. So you instant message each other on Facebook rather than through your phones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have people who my only contact information with them is through Facebook. And it's like parents from Griffin's classroom. It's a strangest thing. I was on my way to her place the other day, and I had to call my husband and say, can you text me her number? Because I don't have it. I only communicate with her in person and through Facebook, which is strange.
Well, what's crazy, too, is you can actually call through Facebook.
I have a fake number attached to my Facebook account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it would just do like an online thing.
No. I don't know.
It's like Messenger.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think it, you know, I don't know how that works.
Did you have to go the fake number route?
Me?
Did you have to give Facebook a number?
I think it asked me for a number.
Oh, wow.
So I just pulled
Well, it did. It asks for a number, but I think you have the choice of not putting
publishing
it online.
It?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't even want to take the chance.
That's true.
Also, according to Facebook, I was born in 1983, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Why would you make yourself older?
Let's live there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the outer limit of how much I'll lie. That's about as far as I'll go. But I, you know, now do you guys now? I have so many names in my head for your boyfriend. It's Colin, right?
No, he's V.
It is.
It's V, and also Beastmaster.
Right.
But his Twitter handle is like Billy something.
Oh, that's it's a thing. It's a mix of his middle name and the street he lived on.
So it's like his porn name.
Yeah, that's
guess
a stripper
so?
Name.
It's a stripper name,
which is pretty lame. If you ask me,
what's his
stripper name?
What's
it? It would be Billy Bristol.
Billy,
I don't know. I
that's
mean,
that's pretty
I guess.
Good. Billy with an IE,
like
yeah.
Cowboy.
No, that does sound good.
Alliterations are important with those kind of things.
That's true. No, yeah. But his name is Colin.
Welcome to the stage, ladies and gentlemen. Have your singles ready. Here comes Billy Bristol. I'm sorry. I think it works.
I imagine a little British hat. What are those?
Why? Yeah. Why do
Bristol,
you imagine?
I don't know.
That?
Bristol.
Bristol sounds
and then
very
Billy
British
too.
Billy.
That's not okay. Let's tell V about all this. That he's stripping, he's doing it in a British accent.
In a bowler, like a
right.
There you go, bowler.
He does the Sherlock Holmes strip.
Oh,
bowler hat
really
and the
I would
Union
watch...
Jack vest.
Oh,
are you kidding? You said you would watch.
I would watch that.
Sherlock Holmes is not a sexy guy.
Can be.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. played him. People seem to like this Cumberbund guy. What's his name?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's guy. That's
that
the guy.
Yeah.
He's in a new DC Comics movie.
Well, he's going to be a Marvel character.
That's what I meant.
He's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, people are very excited about his costumes. Him and Loki apparently were out and about.
Yeah, he's very mystical, very magical.
Mm.
Yeah.
He looked good in leather.
It's going to be so much better than Batman versus Superman. I'm so excited.
People are so excited about the Suicide Squad previews.
Yeah, that looks awful. I'm terrible. I'm done.
Why
yeah.
does that look terrible?
I'm out. DC,
I'm already,
I'm out.
I'm done fighting with you about things. That looked good.
No, it doesn't.
You're just a big spoil sport.
Looks
That's
poop.
What you are.
Speaking of superheroes, do you see that I'm now following Linda Carter on her Instagram account?
Let's talk about that.
She looks amazing. I've been following her on Facebook for a while, but then she posted her link to her Instagram account, and I'm like, I'm all in, Wonder Woman.
When's the last time you think she put the outfit on?
I don't know. Well, if you look at the pictures, her waist looks so tiny. Like, I don't know if, you know, she was Miss Universe.
Oh, she's one of those.
What?
With the tiny, tiny waist.
Tiny waist.
Forever.
Long legs, tiny waist. Yes. Gorgeous woman. But if you look at her Facebook page, she looks fantastic. She's touring, singing right out on the road right now at theaters all over the country. I love her. We have to get her as a guest. That's my new goal. Linda Carter has to be on our show. All right, then. It seems like no one believes I can get it done. I think I can get it done. I'm sure she'll be in town one of these days and be passing through town. Who do you follow on Instagram that people would be surprised by, Esmeralda? Do you follow any celebrities?
I don't really. I actually, big secret, I don't really look at Instagram.
That's all right.
I just made one.
I just use it to put things on it.
Do you like Instagram, Craig?
Yeah. I just started putting pictures on there. Now I'm trying to like find reasons to take photos.
There you go.
Which is something I didn't do.
Like the empty ice trays.
Yeah, like the empty ice trays.
And the empty water.
Right, that we have no knowledge of.
See, mm-hmm. Soon you're going to find a reason to take a picture of everything.
Oh, apparently.
I'm not like that.
And the filters work, too. Look at all those filters on there.
Oh, isn't the filters are
so nice.
Are wonderful.
So easy to use.
I don't mess with all. I just, whatever came out.
People are surprised at how fast I am with the filters. I prefer the X-Pro and also Lo-Fi. Sometimes I'll do a Juno or a Lark.
Lo-Fi is nice. Yeah.
No, it just, mm-hmm. Sometimes with lighting and shading, you
right.
do a lot of...
I like how you can just slide the shading.
Have you gotten into, I guess there's ones that can kind of Photoshop you a little bit.
Oh, really?
What now?
I heard this on that Cocktails with Chloe show.
Nope.
Or no, it wasn't that. It was that Chelsea Handler show. They were talking about the whole online thing. And Chloe Kardashian was on there. And she's like, oh, there's this app where you can fix yourself. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, there you go.
Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the one that Stephanie is addicted to? It's Face Swap, like a mask or some sort of masquerade app.
I'm scared to do that.
Well, some of them turned out okay. Me and Sarah Tymon, we were able to switch faces. I apparently was taller and blonder in her photos.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the one with Kristen Decker was it was just kind of off. You had to be really lined up. Basically, it just takes the face, it identifies the face, and then switches.
It. Yeah. Yep. That's on the Snapchat.
It's a little creepy.
Oh, yeah, with the tears. And all that business on the Snapchat.
And Snapchat, I don't get.
Are we just saying random stuff about the devices?
The apps? Well, I have Snapchat and I don't really quite get it.
They have all those things where you can make.
I don't understand the popularity of Snapchat.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because I know the story, which I shared my Instagram pic from this weekend on my story on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that people looked at it. Like, that's it, though. There's nothing else.
Because it goes away, right?
Right.
And but it can be video, right?
Do I like send them a message? Thanks for looking at my Snapchat.
I don't know. I think it lives there and goes away.
Yeah.
Briefly. One of the reasons I've been bringing up all these apps and these different programs that we use, there is now an app called Happy Couple for partners who don't actually want to talk. See, Esmeralda, you're talking about a situation where maybe it's not the most opportune situation. You want to talk about the people around you. But these are like daily quizzes that you, because maybe you're not, you don't have enough time in the day or the time that you spend with each other to learn enough about the other person. This way you can take a quiz and it asks questions about like your personal life growing up. And there are 1,200 quizzes, Craig. I want you and Betty to start tomorrow. Start the quizzing. They ask questions such as... How does let's say Esmeralda keep track of tasks on her plate? How do you keep track of your tasks throughout the day, Esmeralda? I just wing it. I don't know
like
about anybody else.
A to do list?
I guess.
In my head.
How does your partner feel about monogamy? Ooh, that's
good.
That is a totally different question.
Yes. How do you handle your busy schedule? Right. How do you feel about sleeping with other people?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that on my schedule?
Too? Yeah, right. So then are you scheduling those?
This is like an OkCupid.
I feel like these are all ways to trap cheaters.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This new paradigm of connectivity is pushing us further and further away from real relationships.
This is a setup.
Yeah, it's all very strange.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all under the guise of getting to know somebody. Yes, Az?
See, we talk. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot.
Yeah.
We just talk through the messenger because it's so easy.
Do you tell stories about yourself through messenger, or is that more in conversation?
No, in conversation.
Like reflecting on things and sharing like a memory?
Sometimes.
Right.
It depends.
I feel like going through her instant messaging.
Yeah, I want to see all that.
A little bit.
Yeah. There's a lot of gifts.
Nice. A lot of, what kind
a lot
of gifts
of
are
weird
you,
gifts.
What kind of romantic gifts are you sending?
They're not romantic. They're all super silly.
Oh, and that's the point of a gif, though. By the way,
exactly.
For those who aren't familiar with what a gif is, it's a like a stop motion video almost, right?
A lot of kissy faces.
That's not what gifts are. You mean your gifts are kissy faces?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not hilarious. That's
well,
romantic.
Well, sometimes.
Okay.
Send us an example of your gif.
Yeah, gif us.
Mm-hmm. She's
come
like,
on. Now I'm looking. I'm actually looking Esmeralda. Through.
Gif us right now.
Right now.
Let's see.
What
gif
you, me.
What are you willing to share with the world as
no,
a
no, so like something happened that was silly. I was like, how did that? Like, what? And it was a minion going, what? That's pretty much, that's all we do. It's just to, you know, a little more expression. In a message.
I don't know that I've ever posted a GIF. I know Elliot. Elliot actually likes Elliot Serrano.
I really like the idea of Esmeralda explaining GIFs to us on the radio.
Yes, could you
telling
please...
us what GIFs are and what's happening.
The little
in them.
Movements.
Right.
See, but there's sometimes you'll see one and it's like, that explains exactly what I'm feeling.
What?
No words will.
Nothing will come close to
that
this
picture.
GIF.
Picture. Perfect.
This minion gets all of my ideas.
Yeah, no, it
understands
does.
All my emotions.
It does.
Oh boy, so many emotions, so little time. Hey Esmeralda, do you watch Gilmore Girls?
I don't.
So we're gonna do our celebrity wake up call in just a few minutes. It's gonna be Rose Abdu, who plays Gypsy on Gilmore Girls. I feel weird because I kind of hope she doesn't answer. I just want to get her voicemail so we can reschedule her interview. We're supposed to do an interview with her on Wednesday, but because of the Blackhawks game, we probably won't go live until midnight. The Blackhawks have an 8:30 game. So we're calling partly to just reschedule. But if she answers, we'll just do a quick interview and then talk to her again later in the week. We actually like getting the voicemail better than the actual person, don't you think, Craig? It's just fun to wrap up the whole show. How do you explain 20 clarinetists in the studio?
I don't know. Clarinists? I have no idea. We will figure that out.
And I feel like I didn't get a chance to talk to Esmeralda most of the show.
No.
It was like,
there's a lot of clarinetists going on.
There were a lot of clarinetting. There was a lot.
There was so much clarinetting.
All of that was happening. They
it was
were so
happening
good.
All over the place.
So very good. And we have, again, I will be at Northeastern Illinois University on Saturday with the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble. Go to ChicagoClarinetEnsemble.org for ticket information. The show is at 7:30. It is all ages, so bring your whole family and we will hang out. And it'll be a fun show. I'm trying not to be nervous about it because it seems a little classier than the comedy clubs that I do. I'm just saying, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
There'll be 20 clarinetists behind you.
I think almost 40, actually.
Wow.
That was just the ones. I mean,
that was our preview.
I say go for it, Rose. Bring them all.
Yeah, bring everybody.
But they're adorable.
Aren't they great?
Like, it was cute. It was adorable.
Yeah.
Plus, they did, like, you know, some narrating with it.
And they had the right. Blackhawks theme.
Yeah, the Chelsea Dagger.
That was so great.
That works out very well. Right. You know, why are we recapping now? We have to recap with Rose Abdu.
Call Rose first.
We have to call Rose first. More after this on 720 WGN. It's the pretty late wake-up call. We're calling Gypsy. Let's see how Stars Hollow is this day. Oh, yeah. It's time for the pretty late wake-up call. I'm kind of excited. Before we put our call out to Rose Abdu, one of the stars of Gilmore Girls. She's also been a regular on Scandal. She pops up all over the place. She's been on Veep. Coming up after 2, from Babe Ruth's called shot to Kerry Wood's 20 strikeouts, Wrigley Field has seen a lot of historic moments. Tonight, in honor of the Cubs' home opener, Nick D welcomes the author of Cubs 100, A Century at Wrigley. So right now we're going to call Rose and do our pretty late. There must be something that you've seen her in, Esmeralda. She's a character actress. She pops up in a lot of stuff. She has this great story about how she auditioned for the role of Gypsy. We are planning to do a full interview with her coming up later in the week, but we have to reschedule. So part of the wake-up call is actually to see if we can convince her to do what night. Well, we'll talk about it on the air, Craig, and see what night works best for possibly having Rose on the air. Is this her? Oh, there we go. Do you think she'll answer? It's almost midnight there, right? Seriously.
She might answer.
I know she might. Because she has family and friends in the Chicagoland area.
Right. It's not quite as late. Well, and we've called her before. She might even remember our phone number.
Right. And she might think, oh, my God, I have friends and family there. And then think
what
there's like
WGN
an emergency.
What does WGN want right now?
Does it come up as a WGN on the,
I don't know.
On the
I don't
caller
know.
ID?
Hello, it's Rose Abdu. Yeah. I will call you back as soon as I can. Thanks.
Hey, Rose Abdu. It's Patty Vasquez from
and
WGN
Craig
Radio.
Collins.
And also,
and Esmeralda Leon.
And Esmeralda, I know we're talking to you later in the week, but we do a celebrity wake-up call.
Yeah.
And since I was thinking about you and we're having you on, I thought we'd give you a call and let you know what happened on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We had Mark Roberts, the creator of Mike and Molly, writer from Two and a Half Men. He has a new play in town called New Country, which is really good. And I'm so excited. Actually, we should let everybody else know that we're going to have a WGN night on April 21st. That's both for Rose in the off chance.
Yeah, Rose is invited.
She's definitely invited, but yeah. She might be a little busy. She's filming this thing, the series.
She's doing this thing.
Can you believe that Gilmore Girls is coming back?
Oh, this is amazing. Melissa McCarthy is now in it. You were just telling me. This is so great.
Suki is coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, we're very excited. I don't know if Nick D even knows about Suki coming back yet. He must.
He has to know.
Yeah.
I think he's on top of everything.
He's as big of a fan of the show as we are.
Yeah, he's asked us for Rose's number several times.
Has he?
Saying no so far.
Rose, we are very protective. We will, however, call you just shortly before midnight.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, Rose, we had we had almost 20 clarinetists in our studio from the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, and they played some lovely music, including Syncopated Clock and Serenata, which was lovely.
They also did some narrations while they were playing, too, which was
they did with Cat Jacks and Baron there.
Yeah.
Which Sam Pantoliano, and they played a little Chelsea Dagger. Sam Pantoliano seemed amused by Baron there. He wasn't quite sure what was going on. I saw him kind of sneak into the studio because he was scheduled,
right?
But we were a little bit behind with what time we were playing everything.
Well, that's got to be interesting as a guest to come into something and think that it's your segment, and then there's a whole bunch of clarinetists.
Yeah,
still
it was wall to wall clarinetists.
Yeah, we did have to work on how you pronounce that word, though. By the way,
we're pretty sure it's clarinetists.
We're almost positive now.
Yeah, we're gonna go with that one.
Clarinetists?
No,
not correct.
Mm.
Clarinetists. Mm-mm. Nope.
Esmeralda, you want to take a shot at that?
Yeah. Sound it out?
See, at least it wasn't clarinet tie.
Yeah.
No.
Clarinet ties. That just seems crazy.
That's bizarre. Yeah. And so we did catch up on some. Oh, by the way, Rose, the Cubs won today. Not sure if you're a Cubs fan, as our very good Mark DiCarlo is a huge Cubs fan. So he's got to be excited that we are at 6-1 in the season. And we also had, we talked a little bit about how dangerous being a bouncer has become in Chicago. Tragically, a few weeks ago, a bouncer on the north side was shot and killed.
Really interesting conversation with Brian, who's a producer here and also a huge bouncer man.
Huge bouncer man? Is that his title? Is he huge?
I would think so, yeah. Right. When I saw Brian in the hallway the first time, I'm like, he'd make a good bouncer.
He's a former Marine, so that all makes sense.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the end of the show, Rose. We were talking about Happy App. I don't know if you guys have this in your relationship, but there's an app where you can take quizzes every day about each other, asking anything from how do you balance the tasks in your day to what do you think about monogamy. I'm guessing that you guys don't need that one, but we have to. We're having an on-air production meeting. We have to let you know or ask you a big favor if we could reschedule your interview for Wednesday. We were supposed to talk to you 11:30 our time, 9:30 your time. The Blackhawks will be playing, and
they're in the playoffs.
They are in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's game one. And we need to reschedule our segment. So I don't know if we do. Should we do it on that Wednesday?
Sure.
If Rose will stay up late.
If she can stay up a little bit later, we can call her right after the Blackhawks game.
Yes.
Hopefully she celebrates a win with us.
So maybe at 10:15 LA time.
Right?
Or 10:30-ish.
And if Rose has Chelsea Dagger playing in the background, I'm going to be very impressed.
And before Wednesday, I want you to watch some of the other performances that Rose has really brought some beautiful life to. In Veep, she's also been on Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
She plays such... There's this one episode where the president's wife is now a senator, and she does a filibuster on the floor before everyone wants to go away for Christmas. And Rose Abdoo's character could help her out, could lend a sister a hand, and she does not. So it's a big moment towards the end of that episode between Rose and the one that plays the first lady. You got to check out all the great work by Rose Abdoo.
I'm excited.
She's got Chicago ties, too.
You know what's interesting?
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record.
She's like, you've reached it.
I was just going to say that for celebrities, it seems like their voicemails are longer.
It does seem like
they have more time, yeah.
Well, also, now our two biggest celebrities are ones with their outgoing message with their own voice on it. I think it's kind of interesting.
You get a celebrity package.
Yeah, celebrity package. That's where
you get the celebrity voicemail edition.
I realize when I go to LA, I've got to get into Mark DiCarlo's phone because he has Nia Vardalos's number.
Steal his phone.
You have to steal his phone.
Just steal his phone.
Because that's not going to get anybody mad.
Hey.
No.
Hey now.
Well, I guess I shouldn't have said it was Mark's phone.
Right.
Yeah, now there's evidence. Thanks a lot, Patty.
Yeah, no.
Burn the evidence. That's how this works, right?
Burn it for everybody. Well, Michael Palasek almost gave us Amy Schumer's number.
Almost.
And then he panicked.
Yeah.
He started
because
panicking.
He sat there when we called Wayne Brady without really having permission.
Yeah,
you guys should have been all cool about it though. Been like, oh, her
Wayne
number.
Loves us.
Well, do you leave your phone on all night?
Me?
On Ring, so if someone calls you at 4 or 5 in the morning?
I use the amazing part of the phone that's like the off mode.
What are you talking
about? It's not
about?
Off, it's sleep. It's this one.
Oh, like airplane mode? Little, or?
Do not disturb, on.
Mm. I leave the bleepy thing on, the noises.
Vibrate?
No, just the noises. I turn off the phone ring, but, you know, for again, messages.
And for Vic Vaughn, for whom sleep has become priceless, do you leave your phone on when you go to bed?
Do not disturb. Yep.
Do not disturb.
Yeah, see, it's the best. Because your alarm will still go off, but nothing else will happen.
And if it's an emergency, they call you twice, and then it'll ring.
It's on the Apple phones.
Oh.
It's the little moon. You just push the moon.
Don't look at you with the fancy moon.
Well,
it is.
Just making things up.
I mean, I would sleep through it anyway.
Hey, Craig, I have another on-air meeting with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Holly Simon is going to record a podcast.
Oh.
So I needed to either teach me how to set her up for that during the Hawks game.
Okay.
Would you want to do that with us, or should I can come early so you can watch the Hawks game somewhere else.
Yeah.
That was an on-air meeting.
Sure, whatever you want.
We're going to record a couple podcasts with Holly.
Sounds great.
I am who I am. I know. Otherwise, I know I forget, so I'm saying it now because I saw the message. We'll talk about it after the show.
Cool.
This is how I don't have a happy app to do with you.
No.
I just have on-air meetings with you.
We cannot text.
The ice trays have been returned?
No. I mean, we wrote a threatening ransom note, so we'll see if we use this.
I don't understand.
They're our bosses. The other note is signed by, like, the management, and I am not part of
it. And they get water up there.
Yeah, I know.